Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's the Stones bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Michael Saltzman's our guest, our longtime Brain Trust member and a good friend, VP for Berman & Company, Research Director for Employment Policies Institute. You want to give us a website, Mike?
Yeah, it's epionline.org, and we also have a website up at minimumwage.com.
Minimumwage.com, EPI.org. Check those out, folks. If you want to know more about the truth about what's going on out here with regard to minimum wage. So, Mike, you brought some research on what's going on across the country. You know, most of us are wringing our hands over the federal minimum wage. Meanwhile, crazy things are going on in the states.
Yeah, so if you're a small business owner, the thing that you need to be looking at this fall are you have a couple of states with minimum wage increases on the ballot. So in Arizona, in Washington, in Colorado, and in Maine, there are increases on the ballot that will raise the minimum wage, depending on the state, to between $12 and $13.50 an hour. These campaigns are overwhelmingly funded, actually, by a lot of out-of-state money. There's a labor-backed group in Stanford, California, that's been spending huge six-figure sums to support these campaigns. And I think it's indicative of, I think, the way that that unions sort of prefer to do their policymaking, especially, you know, if you look at the next administration, if the House of Representatives is able to sort of be a firewall against the federal rate hike, you'll see unions go to the ballot box more often because they know they have an easier chance to win there.
And do you see any money, like Soros money, in this, some of the foreign progressive money in any of these?
So we haven't seen, you know, some of the money, for instance, that's coming into Maine is coming from a guy named Lawrence Silberstein. Now, he's part of the Democracy Alliance. He's sort of part of this big group of sort of secretive left-wing funders.
Right.
So there has been a little bit of that money. But
ironically, named the Democracy Alliance, right?
That's right, yeah. But most of the money is coming from labor groups, specifically the SEIU, and it's a powerful local.
The SEIU is, in my opinion, and I am going to say this, and I've said it before, the SEIU is an un-American organization. It's a horrible union. The leadership there is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are, it's accurate to say that I think there are a few groups and organizations doing more harm to business and the fabric of small business culture in America today.
They're awful.
The SEIU.
They're awful. Yeah. They're really, really bad. And
they have one thing they care about, and it's more members, it's more dues money.
And they don't care about the constituents of the union. They care about the politics of the leadership.
That's totally right. They care about, even they care, it's funny, and they care about, you know, electing Democrats, too, as you might imagine.
Right,
They're very active in the campaign.
And another group that's an example of this is, I heard one teacher's union executive say, somebody said, what about the students? He said, when students pay union dues, I'll start thinking about the students. Imagine that, right? That's kind of the way the other leadership, union leaderships, are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's a mindset right now that, you know, we started when the fight for 15 started, you heard a lot of people say, well, we want a $15 minimum wage. But pretty soon, you know, you start looking at what those poster board signs said, and people started saying, well, we want 15 and a union. And it's very clear that long-term, the SEIU would not have invested the $70 million plus that it has in this effort were it not for the prospect of getting more dues-paying members.
So some of the states that are coming up on the ballot coming up is Colorado, and who else?
So it's Colorado, Washington, Maine, and Arizona. And one of the, you know, some of the more harmful aspects of these initiatives isn't just that it's going as high as $12 or $13 an hour, but for if you're a small restaurateur, someone with has 10 employees, some of these initiatives are also trying to sort of fiddle around with the way that tipped employees are paid. So, you know, right. The IRS says tips are income, and most states agree with that, but there's a handful that don't. Labor would prefer that no one receive tips because, you know, if employees are tipped employees, they're less likely to want to pay dues out of those tips.
Right. Yeah, and
so that's,
and
yeah.
Well, and, you know, the thing about unions, folks, they can't sell their product. That's the reason why their numbers have dropped from 30% down to 6% in the private sector. They can't sell their product. And one of the reasons, Mike, is because companies are treating their employees better. And there's no financial advantage, is there, to being part of a union anymore.
I think it's that's an excellent point. You know, something my kind of mentor of mine, a gentleman who my boss said he's been doing labor law for years, going back to Bethlehem Steel, and he said, you know, the union sort of, they put themselves out of a job. They boast about the weekend and the 40-hour work week. And, you know, today, union, you know, workers don't see a reason for a union because they may have those protections. And they also are less likely to want things like seniority and sort of these outdated concepts that really don't apply in a modern workplace. And so instead, the unions get political. They get active at the ballot box. They turn themselves, that's how they survive.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. And they've turned away from the workplace forces to get their political power, and they've turned to just influencing the campaigns from an election standpoint. And that's really awfully disingenuous of them, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about this with our good friend Michael Salzman. I'm Jim Blasingame, 10 Till.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.